What's up? It's your boy KFC. The other day I'm on Amazon.com and I see like a box, an ad of sorts being like, gift ideas for Father's Day. There was a pen and a vacuum. Father's Day sucks. We get absolutely gypped. The gift ideas all are terrible. They're all either like things for work, like ties, or things for you to like do shit around the house. Like, here's power tools so that I can like send you into the basement to make shit. All that stuff stinks. Get your father, get anyone in your life who's a dad a quality Father's Day gift. Get him a subscription to Fuego Box. You got a guy like Uncle Chaps who likes to cook up some barbecue. You got a dad who likes to work the grill and wants to flavor that food nice and hot and spicy. That's where Fuego Box comes in. They have hundreds of sauces that can go out every single month, and they're going to send you the best of the best. You got Tabasco, you got Sriracha, you got Frank's, you got all that stuff. It's watery, it's thin, it's not quite the same as a nice, tasty Fuego Box sauce. You get a few sample every single box, and right now, if you use code PODFATHERS when you sign up at FuegoBox.com, you're going to get $10 off your first box, which equals a free bottle of hot sauce. So, it's not just hot or heat, it's flavorful. Get your dad a nice gift that he can use to spice up that meal. Make that steak tasty, make any barbecue even that much better. It's FuegoBox.com, promo code PODFATHERS for $10 off your first box.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
It's another edition of the Podfathers. It's me, my man DeClembe, and we have another very special guest in the building as we wrap up May, CF Awareness Month. We kicked off the month with Boomer Esiason, the father. Now we have Gunnar Esiason, his son, on the program. What's up, G?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, dude. We figured it was only fitting to bookend CF Awareness Month with you. People loved the interview with your dad. I think it was funny and informative all at the same time. It was a little bit sad, a little bit happy. It was everything. So we heard a little bit about his point of view of things with you. So only right to have you come in. You're a friend of the program now. We've met a few times. We're cool with Sydney. So the whole Esiason clan's cool with us. We had to have you in.
Yeah, I mean, Sydney and I obviously went to school in Boston. So we were there when Barstool began, and we were fed the whole propaganda thing that Dave went to BU and he hated us Eagles, but... You know, I think it's now. Now we get our chance to come back.
He's not exactly the biggest fan of BC, but you know, anybody who's in New England and anyone who's from the Boston area or went to school there is cool in our book. So we got you on here now. So
with an absolute fire hoodie, by the way.
Yeah, the Boomer Esiason Foundation hoodie started in 93.
Yeah, it's an old one.
I like it. I mean, we put the links out there and we talked about it already, but you got GunnarEsiason.com, which has your podcast, it has your blog, it has all that. I don't want to speak incorrectly here, but it sounds like you are kind of like the poster child for this disease in a way. You're the spokesperson for it. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, I've definitely been called that before. I don't think that's really a title anyone wants to have to be.
I wasn't like, oh, you're famous. Yeah, you know, you don't want to have that, but with the hand you were dealt, I think you're doing some incredible things, is my point.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing is that with cystic fibrosis, you know, there's only 30,000, 40,000 people in the United States that have it. It's a rare disease, obviously. So ultimately, we're all in it together. Every single person with CF, all the families affected. And by virtue of what we do at the Boomer Esiason Foundation and our role in the cystic fibrosis community, I've had the opportunity and really the privilege to meet a lot of amazing people. For example, we have our podcast, like you said, at GunnarEsiason.com. And a couple weeks ago, we had a woman on. She's 34 years old with cystic fibrosis, and she had a double lung transplant 13 years ago when she was in her junior or senior year of college. And since having that double lung transplant, she's actually beaten cancer 3 times.
Holy moly. Jesus Christ.
Absolutely unbelievable. And then sort of the icing on the cake there is that she actually just they have two twins via surrogacy within the last year. So she's sort of come full circle, and she's living a fantastic full life. She's got a full-time job, and she's really been through the whole thing. And there's people like that throughout the entire cystic fibrosis community at large.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me feel like a dick forever complaining. It's like double lung transplants, CF on top of cancer, and then it's just the stuff that you know, the human spirit can kind of get through, right? I mean, I feel like that's a big part of it is – you know, all the help and the awareness and the foundation and all that. But at the end of the day, I feel like maybe something else kicks in when you're kind of faced with something like this.
Yeah, you know, I think people with cystic fibrosis, we have an sort of an inner, you know, resiliency that we're born with because we're dealing with so much right from the outset. You know, for example, I do 2 to 3 hours of treatments every single day. I'll do an hour, hour and a half when I wake up. That's the first thing I have to do. I have to get myself breathing. I have to get the organs working.
And when you say treatment,
so
what
when
does
I
that
do
mean?
Treatments, that basically means, you know, I'll do nebulizers or physical therapies. There's 4 nebulizers I'll do in the morning, plus 30 minutes of a vest that basically shakes me because cystic fibrosis, what happens is we have too much mucus in our lungs and it essentially clogs the airways. And we can't,
shakes it out.
So we can't filter our lungs properly. And the way we do it is by coughing. It took the manual way. So
right.
So the vest essentially does that for us. And then we'll do that again right before we go to sleep. And then on top of that, I'll take about 60 oral pills throughout the day. And then overnight, I actually have a feeding tube as well. So I'll attach myself to a tube for about 6 or 7 hours. And then when we're sick, quote unquote sick, where we have an exacerbation or the infection in our lungs becomes active, as it actually is with me right now. I've been sick for the past couple of days. We'll get a PICC line inserted, which is essentially an IV that they can do IV antibiotics. So you may not, you have no idea if I even have one right now, but I do. I have an IV in my arm that I got placed yesterday afternoon. And so I'll do 5 hours a day of IV antibiotics. So that all together is basically the entire
treatment process.
Yes, exactly. The treatment process for someone with cystic fibrosis, and we still have to complete our daily life. Because
when you're a kid and it's like your parents are just doing this and doctors are taking care of you, it's one thing. But you're what, 26 now?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you got a life, you got a job, you got a girl, you got this, you got that to keep up with all those things on top
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. I mean, as we've learned, you know, life, the world is going to continue with or without us. Mm-hmm. And we can choose to be a part of it, or we can sort of sit back, feel sorry for ourselves, and let the world go on. You know, I have a full-time job, so I have to take care of those responsibilities. Also, I have a social life. I have all these things going on that I have to balance. But at the same time, you know, I can't really feel sorry for myself. I think at the end of the day, that's probably the worst thing someone with CF could do for himself.
Yeah, I've always thought that would, I mean, if any tragedy struck me, I feel like I'm the type who'd just be like, this sucks. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Yeah. There are times when you deal with frustration, right? But you know, you have to sort of overcome that. And you know, whenever something terrible happens to me, you know, I still have to sort of take it one step at a time, understand what's going on, and then figure out a way to beat it, just like anyone else would.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, I'm some superhero person. You know, everyone with CF sort of has their own ways they deal with things. Or if you have cancer or whatever, you know, you take it in stride and you deal with it. It's just the way it goes.
It's like, this guy's been fighting forever, right? Well, we are house cats.
You
let us outside, we're not coming
right.
back.
This we are domesticated. We are soft. We are cream cheese. Gunner's out there like in the gym every day of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're talking about how it's tough for us just to like, let alone raise us, let alone kids. And Gunner's like, just taking care of himself like 60 times a day.
Yeah,
God,
that's. Yeah. I mean, I would just be too forgetful.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be my main problem. You know, I mean.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that if you do forget or something like that, then you automatically pay the consequences of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, the moment you don't do a treatment or the moment that you don't do something correctly in the world of the CF, you're going to pay for it almost immediately.
So
So you're basically not afforded the luxury of missing, a treatment or not taking a pill at the right time. Or for me, since I have trouble with my weight with CF, I have to make sure that I get 5,000 calories every day. And I'm a very lean person. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that I have to get 5,000 calories in a day is insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's a huge number.
Jeez.
So a lot of cheeseburgers?
No. Yeah. I mean, basically, cystic fibrosis, people think of it as a respiratory illness, but it impacts every single organ of the body.
Yeah.
So, I have issues with my digestive tract. I have issues with my respiratory, tract. I have, obviously, there's probably some emotional issues I have to deal with, but God knows what they are.
Right. Hey, listen, we're all dealing with those things, right, man?
I think everyone is.
Yeah, we're all fucked
but,
up.
But, ultimately, it's not like the end of the world. I have this feeding tube in me. I got it placed when I was in college, right? So, like any other college kid, there's things that you do and things that you probably shouldn't do with things that you're given in college. So, I had my feeding tube placed right after my sophomore year, of college.
I like where this is going.
So, right after my sophomore year of college, and junior year rolled around. Actually, I'm going to back up. I had the feeding tube placed, and the reason I had it placed was I had pancreatitis, which is essentially like appendicitis, but the pancreas, essentially, it's kind of like the same thing. Very painful, but the way they treat it is that you basically have to fast for a while and you just lose a ton of weight. And the doctor's like, okay, Gunner, you're going to have to do a feeding tube here so you can put on weight. And essentially what that does is it gives you calories to fight infection and stuff like that and makes you, less susceptible to illness within CF. So fast forward to May. I just finished my sophomore year of college. And you're going to like what I said. I'm in there getting surgery for my feeding fits placed, and I come out of the surgery, and, you know, the way they do things in the hospital is kind of weird. Sometimes they love to give you instructions or tell you how to use something new that you've never used for your, you know, the first time in your life when you're coming out of anesthesia. It's like, it makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of in a haze, and the nurse comes up to me and it's like, do you have any questions or whatever? And I'm like, I don't even
know where I am right now.
I'm 20 years old, right? And yeah. I'm like, do you think I could put alcohol in my feeding tube? Right? And the nurse looks at me and she goes, you know, you're not the first one to ask, honey. And then she walks away. So let's fast forward to now. I'm 21 and I'm in college. And it's one of those like really super cold days in Boston where you're just not doing anything. You're not going anywhere. And it's just, you know, one of those miserable days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's like about 15 of us in the apartment. There's a whole slew of people. We have nursing students. There's just everyone's in there hanging out. And I want to spice things up. So I go back into my...
Listen, this party's a little dull. What can I do here?
Exactly.
Let's go.
Let's see what kind of mischief we can create. So I go back into my my bedroom. And I grab one of those beer funnels, right? And I grab my feeding tube extension set. I walk back out into the common room area, and I'm like, guys, watch this.
The ultimate party trick.
So I attach the funnel to my feeding tube. I crack open the Bud Light, and down it goes.
The whole thing in one shot? Is it just like when you funnel, like it just fills
it
up right away?
It took like 2 seconds. And it just like, it was like someone's like, oh my God, it's got to be a new record. And someone looks at me, one of my buddy Max sitting there, he looks at me and goes, Gunner, you've been given a gift. you can get drunk without actually having to drink. And I'm like, Max, I don't know if I call that a gift, but
yeah, man. Well, but it's a
lemons out of lemonade.
Yeah, lemons out of lemonade. The craziest, weirdest sliver of a silver lining I've ever heard of. But if you're gonna have to go through it, turn it into a party trick.
You gotta have a smile on your face, I guess, right? So, yeah. I will say, 2 hours later, did come right back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, this probably didn't end well.
Yeah,
but,
I cannot recommend that to any listeners. If you do have a feeding tube, I mean, how many people do you know say they can do that? You know,
yeah,
just me, right?
You know, do it once. You know, maybe for the story,
just to say you can do it, just to prove that nurse right.
Exactly.
Or you hustle someone. You're like, all right, we'll have a funnel contest. Yeah,
I can funnel the fastest. And somebody whips up a feeding tube. You're like, oh fuck.
Does your dad know about that story yet?
Oh yeah, everyone knows. My parents aren't too proud about that one. Neither is my doctor for that now.
Listen,
yeah,
they all have enough to be proud of. I think you earned a mulligan on that one.
A little bit of fun, yeah. You can have some fun with it for sure.
What about, I feel like it has to be pretty detrimentally to your health to continue to root for the New York Rangers.
Yeah, I would say my mental health has definitely been struggling with the with what happened to the Rangers a couple weeks ago.
Like, is that a CF thing or just a Rangers fan thing?
That's just a Rangers fan thing. That's just like, that would just... total horrible way to end things.
What was the scene like in the Esiason house?
It was...
Because I feel like your father is more about the Rangers than like he was about his own professional career.
We actually, when we interviewed him, it was the day of the first playoff game. Remember, he had the jersey on and everything.
We knew we were releasing it like a few weeks later, so we couldn't really bring it up because it wouldn't have made sense time-wise. But I was like, here we go. We got Hockey Boomer in the building right now.
Yeah, I mean... Little do people know that the Esiasons are like a hockey family. My dad grew up as a huge Ranger fan because of his dad.
Right.
And my parents, before I even like, they considered me playing football or whatever, they just threw me on skates. They're
right.
Like, one of my best friends, he's a little older than me, wanted to go ice skating. And I was like, I want to go ice skating with him too. And then 2 days later, I was in hockey practice, learning how to skate and stuff like that. And the reason that is because at the rink that I learned at, they had a father-son hockey program. And I was like, Dad, I want to do this. My dad was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I just played 14 years in the NFL. So he took it on, and I will say that my dad had, he has concussions and stuff like that in the NFL, but he never had like a really significant injury in his 14 years of NFL or college or high school football. Three or four years into playing ice hockey, he got smashed in the mouth with a hockey stick, and we were in the dentist at the dentist till like 4 a.m. for like emergency dental surgery.
Hashtag was, hockey tough.
Yeah, it was my it was like my dad's worst ever sports injury. Knock on wood, that stays that way.
Yeah.
But it was pretty funny how he made it through the NFL without anything like really catastrophic happening, and then of course,
so
we're over at the rink, and next thing you know, we're at the dentist's office.
He was telling the story about you playing football. Obviously, you played hockey growing up. So, I mean, is sports something that is that much more difficult for you? I'd imagine it's, you know, you got to persevere through that as well, but it's something you can play with normal kids.
Yeah, I mean, as we found out, that exercise for people with cystic fibrosis is an enormous part of treatment, right? Because what it does is it actually filters our lungs for us, because we're breathing air in, we're breathing air out, and we're coughing a lot. So if you ever see me exercising, I'm like cough, like you think this person's dying, but I'm coughing it up, I'm clearing my lungs, and actually feel a lot better.
If you hear me coughing, I'm dying. Gunner's all right.
It's good when I do it. It might scare people, but it's a good thing when I do it. I played football, and I would say football is probably a little bit more dangerous for me, simply because of just my build. I wasn't very strong. I have a hard time putting on, keeping muscle mass on and keeping weight in, as I just said, with the feeding tube. But hockey was sort of more of a natural sport for me. I started playing when I was a younger kid, and it was something that I sort of felt like I could compete with the other kids at a normal level. So I played basically all the way through high school, and then the dream ended, of course.
Right. But that's, that's where the dream ends for everybody.
For a lot of people.
What I mean? Like, not a sickness thing. That's life.
That's
like,
just the way it goes.
Yeah.
So, I actually coach high school hockey now. That's just my way of staying involved in sports. I love it. And sort of my way of, giving back to kids. I think it's, an important thing to do is, I had a lot of really fantastic coaches growing up, whether they be football coaches, baseball coaches, hockey coaches. Those people are really, really important in my life, those mentors that I had. So I've always wanted to sort of give back in that respect. But, I definitely did have a lot of fun playing football. And the story my dad told with the All-Star game was great, and especially the one when he talked to the other coach. But, I definitely did take a few pretty big hits in my high school football days.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like your dad wasn't doing you justice
he kind of threw you in the bus.
Yeah.
No, but he was fair, because the backstory to that is that leading into that season, I had mono for months at a time, and it really took a toll on my body. And I think my senior year, I think I only played in a game or two. And, looking back, it's really not that big of a deal, but in the eyes of an 18-year-old who had been looking forward his entire life to playing and being the starting quarterback of the football team, that really was taken away from me because of mono. And it was really one of the first times that cystic fibrosis really got in the way, and it sort of made a major, major impact in my life. And the doctor essentially was like, listen, I know football means a lot to you, but we have to take care of this issue that you're dealing with, because if we don't, then your hockey season is going to be in jeopardy as well. So it was I had to choose one or the other. Was I playing football or ice hockey? And then I had the rest of my future to think about. But what 18-year-old kid wants to think about his future? So
right.
It's people with CF are sort of forced to mature at a lot younger ages than people without it are.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that, even, it's probably a little bit of parenting, it's probably a little bit of you personally, but, and even Sydney, too. When I always forget how young Sydney and both of you are. I feel like, you guys are my age or even older whenever I speak to you. You're both very
mature. Sydney thinks she's going on 35.
Yeah.
she's 24 going on 35.
Yeah, well, Sid the Kid is, I feel like you're always chirping at her on Twitter. I feel like you guys have a funny relationship, you two.
Yeah, no, Sydney and I are really, really close. We went to school, together every step of the way. She's a year younger than me. Mm-hmm. You never know that, but she is. Mm-hmm. And Sydney has really been the rock that I've leaned on, and she's also been a huge motivator for me, because, she doesn't have CF, and she's also not a carrier of the CF gene, just by the way the genetics of cystic fibrosis works. I have CF, and she doesn't, and her kids never will. So, she's been the person like, Gunnar, let's get up and go do something. She may know I'm not feeling great or whatever, and she'll be like, Gunnar, let's get out of the house and go do something. It doesn't have to be something crazy, but
just get you moving a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. She's always a big motivator. And then in college, I was also the ATM. If she ever needed something, Gunner, let's go get dinner in your mind. There's always an extra reason to the call that I would give her.
Ulterior motives.
Exactly. So that's just, I think, the nature of brother and sister. But Cindy and I, we've been, more than best friends for our entire life. And she's been right there with me. And, when I was younger and I used to have to get surgeries or procedures or whatever, she used to take advantage of me and basically use it as truth serum. And she'd be like, Gunner, who do you like? And
gossip? What's
exactly.
going on?
That's diabolical.
Yeah, that's a female for you, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
So we asked your father about it. I got to ask you about it as well. When she brought home Matt Martin, what was your reaction?
So Matt's awesome. He's
great dude.
Well, he's Canadian, so that kind of goes
to the problem.
Hand,
right? You guys are a big American family.
And then he's Canadian. He's a nice guy. Everyone in Canada is a nice guy. But Matt's awesome, and he's probably been the best thing that's happened to Sydney, whether or not she realizes it, because he's really, grounded her and kept her in line. But Matt has been an awesome dude, and obviously we're huge Ranger people, so to say that it was a little bit of a disappointment that you brought home an Islander would be an understatement, I think. But at the same time, it's been really great to know Matt. And Matt's also taken the whole CF thing in stride as well. You know, he's raised a lot of money for CF. And I think he's learned a lot from, you know, basically hanging out with our family for weeks on end, you know, during the offseason and stuff like that. So he's done a lot of good for Sydney, and hopefully Sydney's done some good for him.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good couple right there. I think they're good for each
other.
Yeah,
they absolutely are. I'm
betting on those two kids. Mm-hmm. You got a girl?
I do. I actually do have a girlfriend as well. I've been dating her for about a year and a half.
Awesome, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like, you know, and obviously you are at this point, you know, the head of the foundation. I don't want to say the head of the foundation. I know there's a lot of people who work there, but, you know, I feel like that's got to be, is that like, do you consider that like your life's work at this point?
Yeah, so I mean, I basically have like three different, like my dad, I work all these different jobs.
It's
so,
the goddamn Asiasi
work ethic right here.
You so, overachieving punks, it's unbelievable.
Making us look bad.
Get one job, you assholes, one job.
Make it two.
I don't know what it is about us. We just do all these different things. Like, so I mean, yeah, I work at the foundation. I'm the director of patient outreach. So I do the blog, the podcast, that's all on GunnarAsiasi.com. And then at Asiasi.org, or at the Boomer Asiasi Foundation, we have scholarship grants that we give to people with CF going through college, people who are in the transplant phase of cystic fibrosis care. We give transplant grants. We have really unrivaled educational resources in the CF field. And then we also do, you know, research and things like that. So, or well, we provide money for research. And then we also fund clinics. There's like Gunnar Asiasi and CF clinics, like scattered throughout the country. We have to start naming these things other things. Like I can't, I have
you
my
can't
name
have
all
your
stuff.
Name on all of it.
but, you know, we do a lot of good stuff. And then I also, I coach ice hockey, which is a big part. Right. That's really like an emotional release for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do things where I'll go like around the country and I'll give motivational talks or lectures at children's hospitals to families, caregivers, and,
awesome.
You know, people taking care of other people with CF or pharmaceuticals. And, you know, basically what I say is, you know, the things that you want to ask your kids with CF, you can ask me, because there's a lot of things that go on and there's a lot of like bullshit that people deal with later in life that, you know, it's a little awkward for a parent to ask a child. You can ask that to me because I've been through all this, you know,
right.
What's it like exactly. What's it like in college when I take my shirt off and like a girl sees me, you know, like what,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
the feeding
yeah.
tubes right there.
The literal stuff that you have to deal with. For
exactly.
Sure.
So you come across a lot of these little things that like people don't ever think about. Otherwise, like unless you had CF, you know, when I travel on the airplane, I bring like 100 bags with me because I'm just filled with medications. And how do I get all that onto the airplane, for example? You know, that's one thing I have to deal with. And there's just a whole number of things. So, you know, those are good educational opportunities. And it's a great way for me to connect with the community at large.
Well, and let me ask you, because you're on the Podfathers here and it's a parenting thing. I mean, and I've obviously you can speak directly to CF, but I'm sure a lot of the same stuff applies to other diseases or ailments or situations. Because we've always said as a parent, like, you know, when our kid gets the flu, we're like, you know, it's heartbreaking. So to other parents out there who maybe have kids with CF or going through something similar, any, you know, words of advice that you think really apply or one piece of advice that you tell or anything like that you want to say to them?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll tell a little anecdote here. We were I was like in first grade, so I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I was at that point in time where I really didn't know that I had CF, or I just kind of knew that treatments were a part of my life. I obviously don't remember being diagnosed. I was like 2 years old when that happened, so I don't remember any of the crazy, you know, medical stuff that happened to me then. But my dad was in his final year of his playing career in Cincinnati, and as he said in the last podcast, Cindy and I were going to school in New York, but we sort of spent a lot of time between both places because we wanted to go see football games and stuff like that. So one time we were in Cincinnati, and my parents woke me up at like 6 a.m. or maybe even before that to go to the hospital. And they didn't tell me why. So we're on the, you know, we're in the car fretting from, we lived in Northern Kentucky at the time, driving to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And my dad like turns around and looks at me halfway through the car ride. And I could tell they're both sort of anxious. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and goes, "Gunnar, this isn't going to hurt." And like, that was just unsolicited, right?
Yeah.
He just like said that.
Red flag
like,
city.
Yeah. So somewhere in the parenting handbook, there has to be like things you don't say to your kids.
That's
and like
it. That's
like
one of them.
That's like number one. Like this, that's like the very first thing you
All
don't
right.
you
Good
don't
piece
say.
Of advice. Don't say that.
So we're driving in the car. We finally get to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And you know, the entire way my dad is like, "This isn't gonna hurt. This is gonna be fine. It's gonna be great. This isn't gonna hurt." And I'm like, you know, now I'm all worked up, right? So we finally get to Cincinnati Children's Hospital around 6:30. And instead of going into the hospital and making the left to go to the cystic fibrosis clinic, we go right and we go to the interventional radiology unit. So interventional radiology is basically where they do procedures to put in thick lines like I have, like I said earlier in the episode. But I didn't know what that was at the time. So we're sort of in there, and they make me change into a gown, and like the gown's obviously.
And again, you're like 6 years old.
I'm 6 or 7 years old. Yeah. So things at this point are now very different, and I'm being exposed to very different things. You know, the CF doctors are not there. It's an entirely different team. And the anxiety is obviously running through my blood. So we're now in like the little area before you go into the operating room. Like we're on a gurney. It's like I'm sitting on my dad's lap, and my mom is also sitting next to us, right? So I'm obviously very anxious, and someone comes in, a nurse comes in and goes, okay, we can see Gunner's anxious. We'll give him this. It's called Versed. Versed is basically like Valium, essentially, in liquid form that they give to children. I think had I known what it was when I was 6 years old, I would have been like, all right, yeah, let's do this.
Let's go. Like, can I get some Versed now?
Yeah. But I didn't know that. So yeah. There was like a little red liquid in a cup, and they wanted me to drink it. And I took like one like little baby. Obviously, you know when you give one of your kids like little liquid medicine, they're like,
yeah,
they kind of they spit it right out.
I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did that and I spit it right out and I was like, I am not drinking this. So this went on for about 45 minutes to an hour of them trying to convince me to take this first, and I would not do it. And my dad's like, it's not going to hurt. This is going to make the whole thing better. Like, you'll feel great after you take this. Like, they're trying to like come in, and finally like some Irish nurse comes in and she's like, I'll show you how to do this. And like, it's like we do a lot of this.
Of course, the Irish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can always count on them for that.
Like, that doesn't work. She leaves. Then finally, the anesthesiologist comes in and she goes, Gunner still hasn't taken, we have to get this going because now we're backing up the rest of the day. Like, you know, he's got to get this going here. And I just will not do it. And finally, the anesthesiologist looks my parents in the eyes and goes, we have to keep him still during this procedure because this is really going to hurt him. He's got to stay still.
Oh, Dad, you fucking liar.
So the moment I hear that, I jump off my dad's lap, turn around, and look him in the eye, and I'm like, you lied, right? And I just run away.
Oh, man.
Out the door, turn down to the right, and just start running. And my mom is sitting there next to my dad and looks at my dad and is like, Boomer, go get him. Like, like they're just both in such shock. But my mom, right, like, has like, oh, my God, our kid just ran away.
Right.
So my dad gets off the gurney, and I have like probably about a 10-second head start here. And I'm running down the hallway through, like, the main lobby of Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And for some reason, I don't go out the door. I just keep running. And my dad now is running through me. But at this point, the hospital's open for business. So there goes this little kid running, followed by...
He's still got the size and jeans. He's got wheels. He's moving.
Well, have you seen my dad run? So there goes Gunner Esiason, and followed by Father of the Year and the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, Boomer Esiason, and running after his child in there's like hundreds of people all over the place,
right,
and they all know who, like, he's, of course, a nurse,
he's
guy.
Yeah, he's
a
celebrity there. Yeah,
like Father of the Year. We've been on Sports Illustrated. Like, we have a great, like, happy family,
right,
but like now we're running to the hospital. So we're running, and finally I sort of make a turn and I get into this place where I like get stuck into a dead end. It's one of those doors, like a biohazard door, and you need to have like a key card to swipe through,
right,
or whatever. So I'm stuck, but I notice there's a handicap railing, and I see my dad's closing in. So I'm like, I grab the handicap railing and hold on for dear life. And my dad is like, to this day, I don't know where the strength came from.
He couldn't get you off.
Because he could not get me off. And I'm like crying, I'm screaming, and now people are like, oh my God, does this kid need help? Is this, you know?
Sir, why are you touching this kid who's screaming?
Yeah. So, and like now there's like a crack, and he's like, Gunner, you're making a scene. This is not looking good. Like, you have to get off this railing. Like, please, for the love of God, like, I will do anything for you. And the moment he said that, I was like, there's an opportunity. So I stopped crying and I look at him and I'm like, I want a Nintendo 64.
Extortion like a motherfucker. Yeah, I love it.
The Nintendo 64 had just been released and I was like, here's my opportunity to be cool, the coolest first grader in class.
Yep.
So he's like, fine, we will go to Toys R Us, we will get the Nintendo 64 and you can have whatever games you want. Yeah, like you can have a shooting game, you can do whatever you want.
So
I'm like, I let go of the railing and we go back into the operating room or whatever, and they insert the pick line. I was crying and screaming the whole time. I hated
it. Yep.
Obviously, I've come a long way because now I have one. It's not a big deal. But
when you're 6 years old.
When you're 6 years old, that's like when I realized that I had cystic fibrosis. So what I would say to parents, like to come back to like the point here in the end, is that you have to make your kids feel like they're in it with you. You know, you don't want them to feel like they're alone when they're dealing with something that's very brutal. You know, another sort of part to that was, when I was really, really little, my parents would set up the medications and then I would sort of go on and start doing it. And then they would, you know, my dad one time walked out of the room and heard me cough. He was like, oh my God, I just left Gunner in there to do his treatments by himself. I have to go back in there and be with him. And so from that point on, my parents were always with me, always on my side to basically do whatever they could to make sure that I could succeed despite cystic fibrosis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then also, point number two, get your kid video game systems.
Bribe
they'll be happy.
Them like a motherfucker. I bet GoldenEye never felt so good.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I wouldn't say bribe, but, you know, they're you have to incentivize things,
yeah,
right?
No, I mean, that's...
So, like, for people with CF, there's just a million things that you require the kid to do to stay healthy. And it's the same thing, like, if your kid gets a cold or whatever, you have to make sure the kid has got to deal with cold remedies. Like, no one likes being sick.
Right.
You know, and no one likes taking care of being sick. So you have to incentivize the kid to get better. And as soon as the kid understands... that, you know, it really sucks being sick, and you can do more things when you're healthy, then things start to turn. But you have to convince the kid to do that. You have
right.
to convince the kid to sort of stay healthy and understand why health is such an important part of life.
It's a partnership.
We could all use that advice, too, though. I mean, I'm, like, sitting around. My body's a piece of shit. Yeah, I need to take that advice, too. Forget about the little kids. So you're Rangers, Yankees, Knicks.
So I'm really
you're
not,
all over the map, right?
So I'm really not a huge New York sports guy. I really only like the Rangers. It's the only team I like in New York. I'm a huge Packers fan.
Right.
And the reason is because when I was really little, I thought the G on the helmet stood for Gunner. And in fairness, we were moving around a lot, right?
Right. So there like, wasn't like a home base.
We spent
base,
years
right?
in the Jets. We had years with the Bengals and years with the Cardinals.
You dodged two huge bullets. And one, you know, the Cardinals have had their run. That's three bullets you dodged.
Yeah. I know I did. So,
dude, Packers is a good one to just be like, whoops, here I had a good reason.
Exactly. And then also the year my dad retired, the Packers won the Super Bowl. They beat the Patriots, and then they went back to the next year against the Broncos. So it all kind of worked out. And
right.
it's like, it's very hard to root against Brett Favre.
Yeah, I hear that.
So that all worked out for me. And
thank God your name wasn't like John, and you went with the Jets.
Yeah, exactly, right? The big J on the helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But, you know, other than the Rangers, I'm really not a huge New York sports guy. Like, baseball doesn't really do it for me. And the NBA is just pathetic. It's just the worst.
Well,
thing.
You're
it's,
a hockey guy.
It's
through
the worst thing.
That's a hockey guy right there. Man.
That's a true test of a hockey man, right there.
I mean, like, let's put it this way: like, as soon as the NBA Finals ended last year, did you actually think that this year's NBA Finals would be anything different than the Cavs and the Warriors?
But here's my
no.
There's no chance. I hear you. Here's my counter to that: we are facing the possibility, potentially, of Ottawa versus Nashville in the NHL.
Yeah, but it's fast. They hit each other. They kick the crap out of each other. It's fun.
I could not care less about that matchup.
Yeah, because you don't know hockey. You didn't grow up watching hockey.
I don't care who knows hockey. Nobody cares about Ottawa and Nashville.
Yeah, but if you're a fan of 28 other teams in the NBA, realistically, how much of chance do you have to win a championship?
Pretty
you have
much
no
zero.
Chance.
I know, but there's
unless
the
you have LeBron or Steph
Super
Curry.
Team,
yeah, like there's no chance. There's just absolutely like
but there's
the
parity,
Cavaliers, like,
and then there's like oh, Jesus
like the Cavaliers
Christ.
Went from being the worst team in the league, like oh, let's change that, let's sign somebody instead of like let's build through the organization. Let's just sign LeBron, and then all of a sudden we're good. Like that's not fun.
You're such a hockey guy. You're such. A
Only need the last 2 minutes. You got to get the hockey. The hockey
it
guy
just becomes a free throw shooting contest.
It's stupid. It makes no sense to me. It's just like it's an idiotic. I wouldn't say it's idiotic. College basketball is fun, and March Madness is great, but the NBA is like the worst product in major sports.
It's like an entertainment thing now. I don't think it's necessarily even a competition thing. It's like an entertainment product.
Yes, it is. It's more about like personalities and stuff like that. Yeah. I said there's none of that in hockey. There's no personality.
Right.
The guys like robots. And
right.
I said that to Matt the other day, and he was like, "What do you mean we're robots?" And
I'm like, "What do you mean we're robots? Did you tell him, Sydney?
Your secret's out, you big fucking goofy robot." All right, man. Well, we appreciate you coming through. Boomer Esiason Foundation. What's the link for that?
So Esiason.org is where you can see the Boomer Esiason Foundation, can make donations. You can see our event list. We have the Empire Challenge coming up, which is the all-star football game between New York City and Long Island. That's over at Hofstra in June. And then we have all our other events on there. And then you can see my stuff at www.gunneresiason.com. Good luck spelling all of that, by the way. you can see my blog on there. You can see my podcast that I do with Julia Ray. She also has cystic fibrosis. And the funny thing is we've never met because people with CF can't be around each other.
Right.
So we've never
I saw you tweeted that picture. Was it her or someone else?
Yeah,
someone
yeah.
else was like across the arena. And
yeah,
you
yeah.
were.
As a selfie at a Ranger game. And she was like 12 sections over. And I was like, here we are taking a selfie because we can't be around each other.
That's
like,
fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's just through like Skype or something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
so we do it over Skype and we've sort of developed a relationship that way. And because of that, like CF can be isolating for patients, right? Because you can't meet other people with CF.
Right. Yeah. You probably usually lean on other people going through the same thing, but you guys can't even really do that.
So the only way we can do that is virtually, unfortunately. And that's just, one of the realities.
But fortunately that you live in a time where you can do that.
Exactly.
Now,
so
for years,
I couldn't even imagine what that would have been like in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah.
We just didn't have that possibility.
Right. weird little wrinkle there to it. But you guys both do a great job with it.
Thanks.
And you're always, you know, messing around on Twitter, so everybody can find you there. Was it G17 Esiason?
Yeah, G17 Esiason. Again, good luck spelling that. Esiason's got a lot of vowels.
But yeah, you are one impressive dude and an inspiration to a lot of people with and without CF. So
we try our best.
You do well. And if you ever want to chug a beer
through
your feeding tube, whatever, you're always welcome to come through Barstool.
Yeah, maybe we can get that on camera.
Yeah, well, we can go viral if you want.
Things you shouldn't do.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right, a big thank you to my man Gunnar Esiason. Dude is, I didn't want to get too, you know, corny or whatever, overly sensitive about it, but what he does is incredible, and like the fact that he's outlived all of his expectations, has got a girlfriend and runs the foundation while still doing all those treatments and taking those pills is absolutely remarkable. So a big shout out to him for coming through the office. And once again, make sure you check out all the links that we talked about. Donate, raise awareness, whatever you can do for Cystic Fibrosis Month as we wrap up May, because all the kids out there and all the people who have it need all the help they can get. And we'll wrap up today. I want to let you know the swag and the gear you can get over at barstoolsports.com/podfathers. I got another little kid coming on the way. Me, he's going to be decked out in Saturdays for the boys' onesies. You got a kid on the way. You got a niece and nephew on the way. You got your own kids already who you want to make sure they look all cool for school, cool for daycare. We got onesies. We got toddler tees. All your favorite Barstool shirts, your catchphrases, your logos, all that is in children's form as well over at barstoolsports.com/podfathers. Get the hottest gear for your kids today. That's it. We're out. We'll catch you guys next week.